We are going to look at Psalm 121. I'm going to read all 8 verses, and then we'll pray. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you once again that we can be here in your house to worship your name. We thank you that you have given us your word, that you have revealed yourself to us, your ways, your will. And Father, we thank you for all these wonderful promises that we find in Scripture. We thank you that you are our helper and our provider and our preserver. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be attentive to your word. I pray that you would give me the words as I speak and preach. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Security. It's something that we all strive for. It's something that we all need. And I find it rather remarkable, the lengths that people go to in order to feel secure. And again, it's something that we need. It's something we want. But just think of the lengths people go to in order to find security. Just to give you one example, think of the money that people invest in home security systems. Now, one of the things I remember when we moved here 2.5 years ago, I can't remember who it was, but they told us, don't bother locking your doors at night. This is a small community. It's a safe community, and we've come to realize that. Probably most of you still lock your doors, but that was the advice that one particular person gave to us. But in life, we go to great lengths in order to find security and to find comfort in life. But in all reality, we do not know what the future holds. And we can set up all these securities, all these insurances in our life, and yet we still don't know what the future holds. I want to suggest to you today, and this is right out of God's word, that our hope, our security, our strength comes from the Lord, fully and completely from the Lord. And so what we want to do, just as we always do, is walk our way through this passage, through this psalm. And I've outlined it in four ways. Number one, God our helper. This is verses 1 and 2. Let me read it again. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? Now, this is a psalm of ascent. It's a group of psalms, roughly 15 psalms. In fact, if you go from Psalm 120 to 134, those are all psalms of ascent. And where they get their name is from kind of the tradition that surrounds them. As pilgrims or as Jews traveled into Jerusalem for one of the annual feasts, maybe it was the Feast of Weeks or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they often traveled together in groups. And as they traveled up to Jerusalem, they sang these hymns, these psalms together. And if you know the topography of Jerusalem, you'll know that it is situated on a hill or a mountain. It's got a very high elevation, which is very interesting because the lowest place on earth is the Dead Sea, and that's not all that far from Jerusalem. But Jerusalem is very high. It's situated on a mountain. We call it Mount Zion. And of course, there's numerous hills in the area. Think of the Mount of Olives. But when we think of Jerusalem, we naturally think of Mount Zion. No matter where you lived in Israel, you would be traveling up to Jerusalem. North, south, east, west, it didn't matter. You would have to ascend. You would have to climb Mount Zion to the holy city. And so it's from this context that we need to read this psalm and all of the psalms of ascent. And the psalmist begins by asking a question. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. He's lifting up his eyes to Mount Zion or to one of the surrounding hills. And he says, where does my help come from? Now, when we think about this question and really think deeply about this question, we come to see that there's an assumption. It's fairly simple. It's the assumption that we need help. We need help. The psalmist and all those who sang this psalm are assuming that they are in need of help. They're not independent. They're not able to take care of themselves on their own. Now, in our day and age, many centuries later, we tend to be rather arrogant. We tend to think that we are independent and that we don't need the help of anyone else. And truth be told, we're probably more independent than at any other time in history. We have all these helps around us, and so we don't need people. We don't need one another. At least that's what a lot of us think. As a pastor, I often ask people, how can I pray for you? And I get different answers, of course. But do you know what I sometimes hear? Sometimes I hear, Pastor, thanks, but I'm okay. I appreciate your concern, but things are great. I really don't need any prayer. And I think, seriously? You don't need any prayer at all? You must be doing better than I am. Well, in all reality, those people are often blind to their own need, or at least they just don't want to share what their needs are. You see, just like everyone else, we are needy people. We are needy creatures. This past week, I stumbled upon a little gospel tract, and it was titled Life's Ultimate Questions. And it began by saying this, every human being who has ever lived or will ever live has asked, is asking, or will ask four basic questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What is wrong with the world? And how can what is wrong be made right? While we may not say them, it is in the soul of every person to wrestle with these questions. So these are questions of identity. The question of who am I? Why am I here? They're also questions of human need. What's wrong with this world? What's wrong with me? And how can we find a remedy to all this? And of course, the tract goes on to briefly give some answers to those questions. But what it all comes down to is this. We are here for God. It's not about you. It's not about me. We are here for God, and we are meant to live in relation to God. And along with that, sin is what's wrong with the world. You are what's wrong with the world. I am what's wrong with the world. And if the wrongs are going to be righted, then we need an outside source to help us, to rescue us, to deliver us. Of course, we need Jesus. That's what it all comes down to. And it's interesting because the world is searching for answers to these four basic questions. And we as Christians, we have all the answers. And they're found in God's Word. And they're found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is where verse 2 comes into play. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So our help and our security does not come in the form of a better job, a better retirement plan, a better home security system, as I said earlier, or better friends, those kind of things. My help and my hope comes from the Lord and from Him alone. And just so we know who the Lord is, the psalmist reminds us He is the Creator. He is the Maker of heaven and earth. Now, they were in the context of a pagan world where there was all kinds of gods and deities and idols. But everyone knows deep down in their hearts that there's only one true God, the Creator. And as we read through the Bible, we find this refrain over and over again. And that is, God is the Creator. He's the Maker of heaven and earth. That is what separated the God of Israel from all the pagan gods. They were simply man-made idols with no life, no power, no nothing. But the Lord, the God of the Bible, He is the Creator and He is the Sustainer. And like it says there, He is my helper. And the same God who created the heavens and the earth, He's my helper. He's your helper. So that's how this psalm begins. We have this big question, this ultimate question. And then the answer is given. My help comes from the Lord. And as we continue to work our way through this psalm, we're going to see what this help entails, what it looks like. Number two, God our keeper. So we looked at God our helper, and now we see God our keeper. Let me read verses 3 and 4 once again. He will not let your foot be moved. He who sustains you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The most famous sermon in American history was preached in a little town in Connecticut way back in 1741. The preacher was a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards, and the sermon was called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Most Americans know that, or at least they've heard of that sermon. In fact, back in the day, every boy and girl had to read that sermon at least at some point during their school years. But what most people don't know is that the text for that sermon was based on really an obscure text from the book of Deuteronomy. It reads this way, "Vengeance is mine and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and their doom comes swiftly." So that was the verse. That was the passage that Edwards preached from. He took that one verse, and it ended up being one of the greatest sermons in American history, certainly the most famous. Now, obviously, it had to do with the judgment of God, and that's one of the reasons why it's so famous. You just don't hear sermons like that these days. It had to do with the judgment of God. And maybe you noticed how it said, the time when their foot shall slip, the day of their calamity is at hand. In other words, those who reject the living God, those who turn their backs on God, one day their foot is going to slip. And what that means is calamity will fall upon them. Well, friends, it's just the opposite for the believer, for the Christian. God's word tells us that He will not let your foot be moved. That's verse 3. You will be secure. You will be planted on that firm foundation, which we know is Christ the Lord. Here's another psalm, Psalm 40 and verse 2. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. What that tells us is that the safest place in all the world to be is where? In the hands of the Lord. Because He's going to set your feet upon a rock. He will make your feet secure. There will be nothing in the world to fear. I've said it many times before, I'll say it again, and that is we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know what next week holds. God graciously withholds that information from us. But one thing we do know is that God will be with us no matter what we go through. If you are a Christian, if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you can know that God will be faithful to you. He'll be faithful to your family. He will see you through trials and tribulations and sufferings, and He will give you the strength to endure. And that's what Scripture promises. It's not just here, it's all over the place. And in order to make his case, the psalmist reminds us of the nature and the character of God. See, friends, we need to take our eyes off ourselves and we need to focus on God, who he is, his character, his power, his nature. And it says there, he who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Now think about that. God does not need rest. You think of you and me, we need probably a third of our life is resting. We need sleep. In fact, God commands us to rest. But God himself does not slumber nor sleep. He never gets tired. He never gets weary. He's inexhaustible, we would say. Perhaps you remember the story of Elijah and all the false prophets. 450 prophets of Baal, and there was 400 other false prophets. And you have this showdown between Elijah and these false prophets. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18, it begins with Elijah confronting Ahab, the king of Israel. And then you have this showdown, as I said, between Elijah and all these false prophets. And really, it's a showdown between God and Baal. Let me pick it up in verse 20, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 29. So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bulls be given to us, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood. But put no fire to it, and I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you will call upon the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." And the people answered, "It is well spoken." Then Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bull and prepare it first, for you are many, and call upon the name of your God, but put no fire to it." And they took the bull that was given them, and they prepared it and called upon the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, and no one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, saying, "Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened." And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. But there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. So what you have here is Elijah And all these false prophets, and the false prophets, they prepare their altar, and Elijah does the same. And Elijah says, you guys start off. You're many, I'm few, I'm just one. And so they prepared the altar, and they're basically waiting on their God to light the fire, to prove that he's real, and so on and so forth. But nothing happens. So from morning all the way till noon, nothing happens. They're calling, oh, Baal, answer us, but nothing happens. And so finally, Elijah has had enough, and he starts to mock them. He says, well, maybe Baal is just sleeping. Maybe he's relieving himself. Maybe he's on a journey. And see, that was their notion, that God slept. This wouldn't have been foreign to them. They thought, well, maybe he is asleep. Maybe we need to wake him up. Maybe we need to get his attention. Well, of course, the problem wasn't that that Baal was sleeping. The problem was that there is no Baal. There is no God other than Yahweh, the one true God. And friends, what we see here in our passage is that our God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't need rest. We know that he rested on the seventh day, but that wasn't because he was tired from all his creating work. He rested to set the example, to set a precedent for his people. And all too often, we get tired, we get worn down from life circumstances. Now, some of you have very impressive energy levels. You can go and go and go and never seem to tire. But if you were honest, you would admit that eventually you do get tired. You do get worn down. And this is explained in Isaiah chapter 40. It says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So we see there that while God does not faint, he doesn't grow weary, he doesn't get tired, we do. Even young men get tired. And the good news is that God will give us power. He will give us strength. He will supply our need. But of course, we need to humble ourselves. We need to ask him. And as it says there, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's take a look at number 3. We've looked at God, our helper. We've looked at God, our keeper. And now let's look at God, our preserver. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. So we've been looking in this psalm at how God helps us, how God keeps us. Our security does not come from man or the things of this world. Our help comes from the Lord. And we can know that God, our helper, is always there for us. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't take a day off. And in verses 5 and 6, this theme continues to be developed. We see how God preserves us. Now, the last couple days, as you know, they've been hot. Today, it's supposed to reach around 90 degrees. So that's a hot day. And on days like today, if we're outside, what do? We try and find shade. We don't want to be exposed to the heat of the sun. As I was saying earlier in my introduction, this past week we were down in Ocean City on vacation. I remember the first day we went to the beach and the temperature was kind of like high 70s. It wasn't that hot, but it was still nice out. It was windy. It was a little bit overcast. And I was thinking, I probably don't need sunscreen, or at least I don't need much sunscreen, because it's not all that hot out. And Stephanie said, well, you should put some on. And you know where this is going, don't you? So she put sunscreen on the kids and herself, and I put just a little sunscreen on. Well, lo and behold, we went home, and later that evening, I started to notice that my feet were burnt. They were red, and also my legs were pretty red. I was surprised, and you've probably been surprised by the sun before. It's amazingly powerful. It doesn't take that long, and it can even be cloudy, and you can still get a sunburn. But go back to verse 5. It says, the Lord is your shade on your right hand. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, our needs are great. They're much greater than simply finding shade from the sun. I think what the psalmist is talking about is human need in general, not just shade from the sun. God will shade us. God will protect us. He will preserve us through thick and thin. And so no matter what we go through, and right now our church family is going through a lot. Bunny and Mick have been through a tremendous amount over the past couple months. But no matter what you go through, no matter what the need is, God will take care of his people. That's what that verse means. And we see this in verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, one way to think of that is this. Day or night, night or day, God is always there for his people. We've talked about the power of the sun. What about the moon? Or what about the night? The moon can't burn us like the sun, but obviously it can be cold at night, and a lot of bad things happen at night. We tend to be more afraid at night. Here's how one commentator explains it. This can be understood figuratively. You will not be hurt either by the open attacks of your enemies, which are as visible as the scorching rays of the sun, or by their secret treachery, which is like the imperceptible influence of the cold at night. So here's the point. Day or night, night or day, God will preserve you. God will keep you. God will guard you. If you are a Christian, there's no need to fear the unknown. That's what most people fear. People fear death. That's why they strive to set up all these securities around them. But if you are a Christian, you don't need to fear the unknown. There's no need to use all those worldly strategies in order to keep yourself from harm and danger. God is your help. God is your keeper. And he is more than enough for whatever need you face. Listen to this. This is Isaiah 41:10. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In just that one verse, we find seven promises. And it's all about how God preserves and protects his people. So number three, God our preserver. Let's take a look at God our protector. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. So verses 7 and 8, that they tie everything together. They summarize much of what we've already covered. Just as the Lord will keep you day and night, he will also keep your going out and your coming in. No matter where you go or what you do, he will be with you. That's the promise that we find there. Now, we could also translate the word keep as guard. The Lord will guard, the Lord will guard your going out and your coming in. And notice how it says, from this time forth and forevermore. We read that and we don't have to stumble over the meaning. We know that it means from now, this present moment, all the way into eternity. In other words, the eternal destiny of our souls is not in question. As I said earlier, countless people, probably the majority of people, fear death. They don't know what it holds. And so because it's uncertain, it's fearful. But the believer doesn't have to fear death because we know where we're going. We're going to be with the Lord. We'll be in heaven. Not long ago, I asked a friend of mine who happens to be Roman Catholic. And I asked him, what assurance do you have that if you died tonight, this very night, that you would go to heaven? And you know what he said to me? He paused. He wanted to think through it. He wanted to give the best answer he could. And he said, I don't know if you can know that for certain. I don't know if you can have any assurance of that. And I thought to myself, that's really sad. That's really sad. I tried to share the gospel with him. But later on, as I reflected on his answer, it occurred to me that he was only stating the official teaching of the Roman Catholic Church. You see, the Roman Catholic Church teaches that those who die in a state of mortal sin, they descend into hell and they suffer eternal judgment, eternal fire. If you were to look at the teaching of the Catholic Church, that's what you would find. And so what that means is that a person can never have assurance of salvation because they don't know if they're going to die in a state of mortal sin or not. You can never know until the very end. But friends, we must get our doctrine and our beliefs from Scripture. That's where we go. And what the Bible clearly teaches is that God, our God and Savior, will keep us and guard us to the very end. The Bible tells us that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that what God has started in our justification and in our salvation, he will one day complete in glorification. In other words, when we're in heaven and we're like Jesus and we see him as he is. So this is a promise. In another verse, Jesus said, of those you have given me, in other words, the elect, I have not lost one. That's John 18:9. So friends, be encouraged by this. If you are a Christian, then you have reason for comfort and for security and for encouragement. God is going to keep us. God is going to guard us, both now and for all eternity. The Bible tells us that we are safe in his hands. The book of Jude, and as you know, it's just a short letter, only one chapter, but it contains one of the most beautiful benedictions in the whole Bible. It says this, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen. Now, there's a lot that could be said about that passage. But the thing that I want you to notice there is what it says right at the beginning. Him who is able to keep you. Friends, God is able to keep you. No matter what you go through, and I guarantee you, if you are in Christ, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to struggle. You're going to suffer. But he is able to keep you and to guard you to the very end. Well, we need to conclude. Our time is almost up. And as we've discovered here, we are not independent creatures. We are desperately in need of the grace of God, not just every once in a while, but every hour of every day, we need God's sustaining grace. And so when the psalmist asks, "From where does my help come from?" we know the answer. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Think about that. The creator of the universe. He's your help. He's your strength. And my word to you is very simple. Look to the Lord. Look in faith to the Lord. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. We need to stop relying on all the things of the world, all the resources that the world offers to help us and to provide security for us. The reality is that you can have the best insurance. You can have the best security and retirement and on, but you still don't know what the future holds. Only God knows that. And we need to trust our lives to Him. We need to trust our families to Him. And the good news is God does know the future. In fact, God ordains the future. And no matter what you go through in life, in the next month, the next year, the next decade, on we could go, God will be with you. For the believer, the Lord is our constant companion. But we must look to Him in faith. And again, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. What's neat is the God who is the creator and sustainer and keeper of His people. All the things we've looked at today, He's also the Redeemer. He's also the Savior. Friends, Jesus is the only one who can save you from your sins. He's the only one that can grant you eternal life. And in a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to remember our Lord in a very special way. We're going to celebrate communion together. But where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for this wonderful promise. We thank You that You are our helper, our strength, our security, our all in all. We praise You. We worship Your name. And Lord, we just pray that You would help us to turn our backs on the things of this world, all the things that we go to for comfort and joy. We pray that we would find our security in You. We pray that we would find our peace and our joy and our comfort in You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You that He willingly went to the cross on our behalf. We thank You that He is the propitiation for our sins. He offered Himself as an atoning sacrifice. And we thank You that for everyone who calls upon His name, who believes in Him, we have the promise of eternal life in You. We thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.